Can we talk about how incredible our skin is? It's our protector, while also being a litmus test for how our body is doing, physically and emotionally. Join host Nicole Berry as she unravels the mysteries around our skin on the new series, Skin Queries, a podcast brought to you by Ruby Studio from iHeartMedia. Nutrition, sun exposure, stress, she gets to the heart of how to make everybody glow from the inside out. Listen to Skin Queries on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. It's made with only 6 simple ingredients. Plus, Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day hassle-free trial. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Everybody, and ho, 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 dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. Welcome to a super special holiday edition of The Office Deep Dive. I am your host, Brian Baumgartner, and boy, oh boy, have I got a treat for you. Today, we're doing something very different, something that I am delighted to share with you. Okay. Here's a hint. Ring, ring, Dunder Mifflin, this is Brian. That's right. Today, we are doing a call-in episode of the show. Who are the guests? You are the guests. And you decide what we talk about today. Get ready to laugh with me, to cry with me, and get mad with me. Well, maybe not get mad with me. But first, I want to thank each and every one of you who sent in so many amazing messages. Truly, all of us here at The Office Deep Dive, we are at a total loss for words at how incredible and how open and how loving you have all been about The Office and the podcast. I wish that I could answer each and every one of you today, but know that we listen to every single one of your messages, and they brought us so much joy. So now it's my turn. I'm hoping this episode will bring a little joy to you this holiday season. So without further ado, I would like to present to you my first call-in episode featuring probably my favorite guests of all time, you.
Bubble and squeak, I love it. Bubble and squeak, I know. we got cooking every morning left over from the night before.
Mr. Baumgartner, Bob Taylor calling from the middle of nowhere, Saskatchewan, Canada. Have a question for you. I was just wondering, your iconic character, Kevin, as we all know and love, you know, wouldn't want to change a thing, but if there's one thing you could change about Kevin Malone, what would it be? Inquiring minds want to know.
Well, thanks, Bob, for your question. You know, I think the one thing, I've addressed this a little bit throughout the podcast, I wish that Kevin had found love. You know, I talked to Ellie Kemper a little bit. I had pitched Aaron and Kevin getting together before the start of the final season. That obviously did not happen. But I wish Kevin had found love. I wish there had been a little more victory for him in terms of his relationship. I love the storyline with Lynn when we had that. Obviously, Stacy, his fiance early on, she wasn't explored all that much. But yeah, I wish Kevin had one of those small victories in finding love.
Hi, Brian. My name is Logan Corkins. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. I'm a huge, huge fan of The Office. I loved all your interviews throughout the show, but I have a story and I have a question for you. I want to start with my story. So when I was in college, I worked for a baseball team called the Omaha Storm Chasers. They're the AAA affiliate of the Kansas City Royals. And I was working on an off day. I worked in a clubhouse. I was a clubhouse assistant and I was a bat boy. But I was at the ballpark on one of our off days, and Warren Buffett happened to be at our ball field, and he was talking to our general manager. My general manager asked me if I – or told me I could ask a question to Warren. And, you know, Warren's this incredibly successful person, and all I can think about is that he had just aired – or he had just been on an episode of The Office, like, a couple weeks before. So I go in, I sit down, and Warren's like, "What's your question, young man?" And I go – "Yeah, what was it like to work with John Krasinski and the cast of The Office?" And he sits there for a second. He just laughs. He's like, "Okay, well, not the question I expected." And tells me how great it was. Told me it was a phenomenal experience. My general manager is absolutely dying laughing. He's like, "You could have asked him anything, but of course you had to come around and talk about The Office." That was pretty cool. The question I had for you, though, Brian, is back in the day when you guys were filming – in the episode Office Olympics, we see all the different games that the characters played. But did you, Oscar, and Angela actually have games that you would play in accounting when you were like background characters for a scene? I'd love to know more. Thank you.
Well, Logan, first off, thank you for your story about Warren Buffett. I tell you, the day that he and Charlie Munger came on set, that was amazing. I don't know how we pulled that off or who pulled that off. But the fact that he left and you asked him that question is awesome. Now about games, you know, we get asked a lot about pranks, right? Because pranks were such a huge part of the show. Yours is a similar question in terms of games and relating to Office Olympics. You know, the boring answer is we didn't really. I mean, we played comedy games, I guess. Like, our games would be about trying to make each other laugh. That would be it. Would be about us in the deep background attempting to make each other laugh. And as we've discussed many times, we felt like there was a show within a show happening called The Accountants that we were the stars of. So we were always trying to make each other laugh and pass notes. And in fact, I have notes from Angela. Before the computers worked, we would pass notes back and forth to each other, again, in an attempt to make each other laugh, but also in character. So famously, I have an illustration. Oscar has an illustration. I think Jenna Fisher has an illustration from Angela on a post-it note, which was an invitation to Sprinkles, her cat's birthday party.
"Hello, Brian. My name is Brianna, and I live in Dallas, Texas, and I know that you know this area very well as you went to SMU, so I feel like we have a connection already knowing the same neck of the woods. So I'm going to get personal really quick. I have a funny office story I wanted to share. Sorry if it's a little bit TMI, but I think you'll get how funny this is. So about 4 years ago, I had my oldest daughter, and after I had her, everything was going well, and it came time to meet with the lactation consultant, right? So me being a very first-time mom, never having done breastfeeding before, I am in front of all these nurses, and nurses come in, and lactation consultant, and the lactation consultant says, "Do you know how to stimulate your nipple?" And I said, "Absolutely, I do." And I start aggressively flicking my nipple with my finger, to which they were both appalled and thought was hilarious. They stopped me and said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, honey, what are you doing?" I said, "Stimulating the nipple." And they said, "Who told you to do that?" I said, "I learned it from the office," right? With Pam and her lactation consultant. They thought that was the funniest thing. Couple nurses go out, grab some more nurses, bring them in. They say, Brianna, tell us what you just did and how you learned it. I said, I was flicking my nipple because I learned it from the office. They just thought that was the most hysterical thing they could ever see. And to which they taught me, no, honey, be sure to roll. Stop with the flicking. So I just think that is, it just really speaks to me because The Office is such a special show to me and my entire family. I just give so much credit to every single person on that show, from the casting all the way down to the acting to the heart that was put into the editing, every single detail. I wish I could have been there. I truly wish I could have been a fly on the wall to see what I think is the greatest show to ever hit television and my favorite show that I've ever seen in my life. So anyway, it was a pleasure sending in this video memo. I don't know if you'll ever hear it or not, but thank you, Ryan, for your last couple years of these incredibly special podcasts. I've listened to every single one. And thank you for your time, and thank you for sharing your love of the show with all of us. All right. Thanks, Brian. Bye-bye.
All right, Brianna. Well, first off, yes, I did hear your story. There's so much to unpack here. First off, hail to the red and the blue, the Mustangs of SMU. Yes, I went to SMU there in Dallas. And maybe we'll run into each other sometime when I am back. Now, it feels as though you're trying to get me in trouble. You said flicking my nipple several times. I don't know where to go exactly with that, but thank you for your story. You know, it reminds me of another story that I read about, actually, where somebody learned something from The Office. It wasn't about lactation, let me be clear. But there was a guy by the name of Cross Scott, 21 years of age, back in 2019. He was an auto technician in Arizona, and he was driving down the road, and he saw a car that was pulled over and a woman who appeared to need some help. He pulled over to help her, and she was unconscious. And he had to break her window and got in and was trying to help her. He didn't have a cell phone, and he realized he needed to do CPR, but he didn't know CPR. And he thought to himself, well, the only point of reference that I have for CPR is The Office, the stress relief episode. And he remembered, staying alive, staying alive, which apparently, according to the American Heart Association, is actually the correct beat for CPR. I looked that up. That is true. So at least that was accurate. So Cross did this version of CPR on the woman. An ambulance arrived 10 or 15 minutes later, and the woman survived. And they told Cross that had he not performed this CPR on her, that things would not have turned out okay. She recovered and is fine, as far as I know today. So you learned about nipple flicking. Maybe that wasn't the right way to go, but Cross Scott used The Office to save a woman's life. Unbelievable.
Hey, Brian, I just want to let you know that your podcast is my absolute favorite podcast. It makes Tuesday commutes tolerable, I guess, going through traffic all the way to work and back. So here's my question. My question would be, if you can pick any character in The Office to do a spinoff show about, who would it be and what would it be about? I'm looking forward to your answer. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Alex, for your question. You know, we haven't talked much about this throughout the podcast, mostly because it didn't happen. But Rainn Wilson and Paul Lieberstein, who played Toby, but was also showrunner of The Office, as you know, for a while, they actually developed a spinoff in season 8, and it was called The Farm. And it was about Dwight and his beet farm. Now, remnants of that episode played as an episode of The Office called The Farm, and that was going to be the title of the spinoff. Unfortunately, NBC decided not to pick up that show, and so we never got to see more exploits from Dwight and his family on the beet farm. So one, I think that's a spectacular idea, and one that I certainly feel would be worth exploring in the future. And the other is what I mentioned before, the accountants, Oscar, Angela, and Kevin. I think those three disparate characters working together, I've called it the perfect comedy triangle. The way the characters are drawn and how they interact with each other, I think they could work in almost any setting. So whether it was at Dunder Mifflin or somewhere else, I guess my answer number two would be the accountants.
Hi, Brian. My name is Brianne Rozier, and I live in Buffalo, New York. And this is the story of how The Office helped me graduate from high school. So in the year 2013 to 2014, I was a senior in high school, and all the students had to complete what was called a senior project. It was a semester-long class, the way that it was set up, but you basically spend 9 weeks researching a topic of your choice and presenting an argument at the end of the year. And so our teachers were encouraging us to pick something new, something they hadn't heard before. I thought, what do I really like right now? And at the time, I was obsessed with The Office. I was finally discovering it, and I was just so amazed by how it was shot differently, how it was unlike anything I'd ever seen before. I thought it was so funny. So I decided that my topic would be why The Office is the greatest show of all time. My teachers loved it, and they fought over who got to be my advisor at the end of the year because they all really wanted to see my project. And I spent the next semester researching and finding out more about what set The Office apart, why it was so popular. And this was before even the boom that it's in right now. So I was doing my own deep dives for a grade for my diploma. And at the end of the year, I presented it and I had to have a visual aid. And I decided naturally to put a stapler in Jell-O. It's a lot easier than you might think. I learned the secret is dental floss, and I encourage people to try it if they want to. So that is the story of how The Office helped me graduate from high school.
Well, listen, first off, Brianne, you stay in your lane, okay? I do the deep diving on The Office, and now to learn that you did it many years ago, I feel like I don't have a place right now. I don't know. This is very humbling. Listen, why The Office is the greatest show ever of all time, I think is a very worthy senior project. I hope you convinced everyone of all of your classmates and teachers of it being so. I'm glad you graduated. Thank you for that. And I didn't know about dental floss. I had no idea that that is how you suspended it. In fact, I have often wondered how you could suspend a stapler into Jell-O. I didn't realize dental floss. And even when you said dental floss, I was like, how does that work? But now I get it. You suspend it while the Jell-O molds, cools. I don't know. That's incredible. Congratulations on your project, but just stay in your lane. All right, Brianne, stay in your lane.
Can we talk about how incredible our skin is? It protects us from the outside world while also being a litmus test for how our body is doing physically and emotionally. Our skin sends us important messages about our lifestyle, nutrition, and about how we feel. It plays such an important role in how we see ourselves and how the world sees us. So let's shine a spotlight on our skin. Let's go deep into skin health, what it means, what it looks like, and how to have it. Join host Nicole Berry as she unravels the mysteries around our skin on the new series, Skin Queries, a podcast brought to you by Ruby Studio from iHeartMedia. With the help from people with real-life stories and experts of all sorts, she gets to the heart of what makes us glow from the inside out. Listen to Skin Queries on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Stacy thought she had the perfect husband. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover for Justin Rutherford to hide behind.
They led me into the house, and I mean, it was like a movie.
He was sitting at our kitchen table. The cops were guarding him.
Stacy learned how far her husband would go to save himself.
I slept with a loaded gun next to my bed.
He did not just say, I wish he was dead. He actually gave details and explained different scenarios on how to kill him.
He, to me, is scarier than Jeffrey Dahmer.
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess what, Mango?
What's that, Will?
So iHeart is giving us a whole minute to promote our podcast, Part-Time Genius.
I know. That's why I spent my whole week composing a haiku for the occasion. It's about my emotional journey in podcasting over the last 7 years, and it's called Earthquake House.
Mango, I'm going to cut you off right there. Why don't we just tell people about our show instead?
Yeah, that's a better idea. So every week on Part-Time Genius, we feed our curiosity by answering the world's most important questions. Things like, when did America start dialing 911? Is William Shatner's best acting work in Esperanto? Also, what happened to Esperanto?
Plus, we cover questions like how Chinese is your Chinese food? How do dollar stores stay in business? And of course, is there an Illuminati of cheese?
There absolutely is, and we are risking our lives by talking about it. But if you love mind-blowing facts, incredible history, and really bad jokes, make your brains happy and tune in to Part-Time Genius.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Brian, it is Keith Padin from Connecticut. You and I have a history that goes back a little bit that I remember, and I guarantee you do not. However, I was one of the blogger breakfasts at the original convention there in Scranton. I had a website called thetwocents.com at the time. I was just like this 20-something-year-old guy that lived in this little cottage on a farm where I worked a farm job. But I started covering The Office, and via MySpace, it was Jenna and Angela and Melora Hardin. I was able to get interviews via MySpace with you guys and have them be exclusive to my site. I started interviewing all the smaller characters, like Yvette Nicole Brown might be one of my favorite ones ever when she played Paris in Staples, the Staples episode with Dwight. You know, The Office was something that connected to fans in such a way, but this like changed my life. By doing this, I started getting like press passes and I was able to be a VIP at the convention with you guys. So I was able to be at Casino Night, which was the small part. And I played poker next to Ed Helms, watched Craig Robinson sing Creep, I remember, with the band, and the Scrantones were there, you know, and then the big concert where you guys all kind of went nuts and you guys were just having fun. And it led us all to believe that what we had hoped was true, was that you were people who were enjoying yourselves just as much as we were enjoy watching you. You were real people. You were normal, so to speak, people who were able to communicate with us and just be excited about the show. It led to so much for me. From that little website, I became a member of the Broadcast Television Journalists Association for several years, you know, and covering all different shows. The 2 cents got huge. I had like 30-something writers for me for a while. But it all started because you guys were willing to communicate with your fans. And I was able to find that and write it up and do some podcasts. I did a long podcast once with Bobby Ray Schaefer. And I remember, I mean, it was insane. I was in L.A. for about 4 days for one of my best friend's weddings. And I get a phone call and it was Bobby Ray saying, I heard you're in L.A. and I was hoping that we could have lunch. Like, I did lunch with The Office. Like, it was just crazy. We went out to Saticoy and saw the building where you guys were. It was insane. The Office totally changed my life. I'm now a dad of 4 out here in farm country in Connecticut, but The Office for that part of my life was such a special thing. And now to be able to listen to this podcast and relive all that and think of all these memories and all those moments and the way that you've done it so beautifully through this podcast and talking to all these people, it's been really, really special. So thank you for what you've done. I believe your birthday was yesterday, so happy birthday to you, sir. And from a person who got to stand next to you at the Blogger's Breakfast and thought that was probably one of the biggest deals ever in my life, thank you so much.
Keith, thank you so much for reaching out. I remember very well that Blogger's Breakfast. In fact, I was just back in Scranton a few weeks ago and drove by the Hilton where that Blogger's Breakfast took place and pointed out the window and was like, that's where we had the Blogger's Breakfast one morning at the convention. I think the only time I've ever been in that building. Listen, it's truly moving to me to hear your story, and I'm so glad that your experience with everybody was so positive. I remember that convention and subsequent to that, the wrap party, as being one of the best experiences of the show. We felt a special bond with the people who had such a love for the show and that traveled to Scranton, Pennsylvania. It sounds like even for you, not that close by to come and spend some time with us. We had so much fun. You know, I reference it again because it sticks with me. Andy Bernard, Ed Helms line, I wish I knew we were in the good old days while they were happening. That convention there, certainly in retrospect now, Those were the good old days. So thank you for reconnecting. I'm so glad that The Office and the connection you made with so many of us helped you at that time in your life. It truly was our pleasure. And yeah, you bring up MySpace. That was our first attempt when the show was struggling mightily to find a couple of audience members. That was our attempt to try to connect to people in a new and different way. And I'm glad to know that it worked for you. So God bless, my friend. Congratulations on your 4 kids and your new life now in Connecticut. But thank you for reminding me of those good old days.
Hi, Brian. Hi, everybody. My name is Karen. I'm from Bloomington, Illinois. I just wanted to share with you really quick how The Office has really influenced my life and my family. We quote it all the time. My boyfriend and I started our relationship watching The Office together, and we'll be celebrating our 4-year anniversary in 2022. We quote The Office all the time. It comes up in conversation. And I was wondering if you guys have any of your favorite quotes come up all the time, or if you have any little bits of The Office that show up from time to time in your daily life. Have a happy holidays.
Hi, Kara. Thanks so much for your question. Listen, I don't know at this point if there's a day that goes by that I don't say,
That's what she said. I mean, and when I'm in a public setting, it feels weird to like self-reference the show in that way. But yes, it has become, I didn't even know if daily is right. Hourly, thrice daily reference for me as well. And, you know, look, I spend a lot of time talking about chili. I don't know that there's a specific quote on that, but yes. And there is a giant text chain. Is that what you call it? Text chain? Text? Group text between me and some of my other cohorts on the show. And yeah, I would say that's what she said is, I mean, I don't know that anyone can say anything without referencing that's what she said. So thank you, Kara. I'm glad things are going well for you. Congratulations on almost 4 years together. And thank you for your comments about The Office and how it has impacted your life.
Hi, Brian and Office Deep Dive crew. Having looked back on all the episodes, listened to, and the few I have waiting for me, I am reminded of all the moments where you discuss how we as fans feel so connected to the cast and characters because you have become such crucial pieces to the good, the bad, and the ugly moments of our lives. And if we are to believe that The Office is an experience of connecting and growing close with the fictional characters over thousands of minutes of watching, then I believe The Office Deep Dive Podcast is the experience of getting to know the humans behind the characters and the production, only to remember that the smartest, most brilliant show has already been made, and there will almost definitely never be anything better. I come away from each podcast episode with a greater gratitude for each and every human that worked to start the show and keep it running for 9 years, all those who fought to make it the best it could be. Not only is the gratitude for a show that brings my family and I together, but for the wonderful, creative, smart humans who made it worth watching more than 7 times through, except for Scott's Tots, because, well, I don't think I need to say why. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you to each and every one of you for not only creating the world's best show, but for being such kind and genuine people who made something so magical just by being yourselves.
Nico, thank you. Look, that for me was the point in this podcast, in bringing everybody back together, is for all of you to be able to hear what good people that I had the opportunity to work with for a decade and to hear our real and true interactions together as we relived that decade of our life. Look, I'm not a reporter. Right. That much is very, very clear. But what I wanted you all to be able to experience was our conversation, not about the show in an objective way, in a third person presentational way, but I wanted you to have the experience of reliving the show through us having been there. And the fact that you appreciate so many of these people, Nico, well, you're dead on. You're dead on. And so thank you for your comments. Thank you for watching it now over 7 times. I want you to know that you're appreciated and you are beautiful as well.
Hey, Brian, my name is Tyler B. I'm from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and I am just going to leave a comment really quick on how The Office changed my life. First off, the show started roughly in 2005. And at that time I was 9 years old. And I remember, you know, every Thursday night as a kid growing up with my dad, watching The Office on NBC. And it was just something that we always bonded together over. The special thing about The Office was, for me, I came out when I was 21 years old, as a gay man. And The Office was one of the first shows on network television, if not the first one, I can't remember exactly, but that had some sort of character that resembled or represented a gay man in a network television show. And that was an Oscar, obviously, and, you know, the comedy involved. And as a kid, knowing at a young age about my life and, you know, who I was, but keeping it closeted to myself, it was a very very special thing to see. And even though that was in my younger years, you know, just keeping that in the back of my mind that, you know, maybe one day that things could be better. And then, you know, kind of living in fear that if somebody figured out who I was, how that was going to affect and change my life. And the office was really that comfort for me. You know, every time I watch an episode, especially the gay witch hunt, which I laugh just about every single time. But I think growing up, I always had that fear of, you know, that's how my coming out experience was going to be like. So I remember the day when I first told somebody about who I was, I always feared that my my experience was going to run similar to what Oscar had to go through in the gay witch hunt. So, you know, things like that. That's how it changed my life. And it gave me a lot of hope. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
Tyler, thank you for calling in. I'm glad it didn't go that way for you. Look, there's so much to unpack in this beautiful story that you've told. First off, just I hear all the time, and this is an example of, you know, you were 9. One could argue a little young, but of kids watching with their parents, sisters and brothers and family enjoying the show together multi-generationally. So that's cool to me, number one. And look, I don't know if The Office was the first show to show a gay character on network television, but I'm so tremendously proud of, one, the show, and two, Oscar Nunez and his performance. You know, he's talked about this a lot. He didn't realize that Oscar Martinez was gay when the show started. I don't know if Greg Daniels had that in his mind, but Oscar Nunez did not know that Oscar Martinez was gay. And so when Gay Witch Hunt was written and it became clear that Oscar Martinez was gay, I guess there were some people that asked Oscar, well, how are you going to play the character now that you know this? And his response was always, well, the same. This is Oscar is Oscar. And the fact that now other people know that he's gay doesn't affect Oscar's behavior at all. He is who he is and who he always has been. And I'm tremendously proud of that, because I think that it would be typical for an actor or for a show to start making broad, stereotypical adjustments to character based on that. And the fact that that story helped you or gave you hope for your future, I mean, it's a cliche, but that's what I'm talking about. That's why I'm proud of the show and what we at times tried to look at in the world. Truth and beauty, truth and beauty, truth and beauty, as Greg Daniels would say. And whether it be race, gender, sexuality, issues of healthcare, we tried to look at real topics in a real way, not in a stereotypical or generalized way. So, Tyler, thank you for calling in. Thank you for telling that story. And if it is true, and if it helped you in any way deal with your coming out, well, God bless you. And thank you for having the courage to tell not just me, but all of our listeners. All best, my friend. Can we talk about how incredible our skin is? It protects us from the outside world while also being a litmus test for how our body is doing physically and emotionally. Our skin sends us important messages about our lifestyle, nutrition, and about how we feel. It plays such an important role in how we see ourselves and how the world sees us. So let's shine a spotlight on our skin. Let's go deep into skin health, what it means, what it looks like, and how to have it. Join host Nicole Berry as she unravels the mysteries around our skin on the new series, Skin Queries, a podcast brought to you by Ruby Studio from iHeartMedia. With the help from people with real-life stories and experts of all sorts, she gets to the heart of what makes us glow from the inside out. Listen to Skin Queries on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Stacy thought she had the perfect husband. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover for Justin Rutherford to hide behind.
They led me into the house, and I mean, it was like a movie.
He was sitting at our kitchen table. The cops were guarding him.
Stacy learned how far her husband would go to save himself.
I slept with a loaded gun next to my bed.
He did not just say, I wish he was dead. He actually gave details and explained different scenarios on how to kill him.
He, to me, is scarier than Jeffrey Dahmer.
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess what, Mango?
What's that, Will?
So iHeart is giving us a whole minute to promote our podcast, Part-Time Genius.
I know. That's why I spent my whole week composing a haiku for the occasion. It's about my emotional journey in podcasting over the last 7 years, and it's called Earthquake House.
Mango, I'm going to cut you off right there. Why don't we just tell people about our show instead?
Yeah, that's a better idea. So every week on Part-Time Genius, we feed our curiosity by answering the world's most important questions. Things like, when did America start dialing 911? Is William Shatner's best acting work in Esperanto? Also, what happened to Esperanto?
Plus, we cover questions like, how Chinese is your Chinese food? How do dollar stores stay in business? And of course, is there an Illuminati of cheese?
There absolutely is, and we are risking our lives by talking about it. But if you love mind-blowing facts, incredible history, and really bad jokes, make your brains happy and tune in to Part-Time Genius.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, look, I am just blown away by how many of you called in to be a part of this show. But more than that, how many of you called in from abroad? I mean, the amount and number of countries that we heard from, I'm touched, to say the least. So I'd like to share some of those submissions with you right now. Let's go overseas for a bit, shall we? Across the pond.
Hey, Brian, it's Ola from Oslo, Norway here.
Hi, I'm Niall Martin. I'm from Ireland.
My name is Laura Power. I am from Melbourne, Australia.
Hi, Brian. This is Tom Elliott over in the UK.
At first, like everyone, of course, I fell in love with the characters. I love Jim, I love Penn, I love Dwight. I love you, too.
I wish I could work at Dunder Mifflin. I know everyone says that, but yeah, it is true. We all want to work at this magnificent office.
I never get sick of watching The Office. I've watched it probably over 20 times back to front now, and I never get sick of talking about it. So I guess that leads me into my question for you, which is, do you think there will ever come a day where you just don't want to talk about The Office anymore? My friends and family will be the first to tell you that that won't come for me, that day won't come for me, but I'm curious to see if you think it'll come for you.
Well, first of all, thank you. to Ula, to Niall, Tom, Ramiro. Thank you, Kanako. Thank you for calling in. And now to answer your question, Laura, do I think there will ever come a day where I don't want to talk about The Office anymore? Tomorrow. How's that for an answer? Tomorrow, I won't want to talk about it anymore. Now, I don't know if tomorrow will ever come, but tomorrow, I won't want to. Look, I have, as you know, I have deep doven into the show now for 2 years. We have the podcast. We have the book. I've talked to everybody associated with the show. I don't know that I ever answered the question that I set out to answer, which is why is the show now bigger than it ever was when it was on NBC? Why is it now the most watched show in television? The exploration has been pretty damn fun, though. So yeah, I'm going to stop talking about it tomorrow.
Hi, Brian and team. My name's Liam. I'm coming to you all the way from sunny Scotland, so I apologize if you can't understand my dulcet accent. Just wanted to say that I love the podcast. That's amazing to listen to all these global superstars in my eyes sort of talk about how brilliant their time was making the show, hearing all these mad funny stories and hearing how close you all were. I'm a massive fan of the US Office. I remember when it was first announced it was going to be remade, and I was one of these skeptics that you get in Scotland and the UK as a whole that, oh no, they're remaking something for America. This isn't going to work. But I think that it's got its own identity. It's got its own feel to it. The characters are completely different. And yeah, I absolutely love it. But my question is, were you expecting, well, obviously you didn't seem like you were expecting it to be a big hit in America, but after it was a hit in America, were you also expecting it to be such a massive hit across the world, and in particular places like Scotland and the rest of the UK? Thank you very much. Speak to you soon.
Liam, from Scotland, over across the pond. That is the worst Scottish accent in the world. I apologize to that, Liam. I mean no disrespect. Listen, we were not expecting it to be, as you said, to be a hit here. Of course, we were not expecting it to be a hit abroad. And I think, you know, what's interesting, because like you, yes, we were hearing that in the United States, by the way. Like, now we do live in a global world. So when all of the articles and people talking over in the UK about how this was a disastrous choice for America to be redoing this show, just know this, we were hearing all of those things. Okay? And they were not fun. And in part, it was because I thought that the original Office, the British Office, the English Office was genius, and that Ricky Gervais was a genius. And I loved the show. But as my great friend and partner, Ben Silverman, would say, if you were going to remake something, would you want to remake a piece of shit, or would you want to remake a great piece of art? I think he has a point there. And I think that the key for us was finding what was uniquely American about the show and what was also uniquely universal about the setup and the characters. So no, I was not. And I will tell you that I took a trip actually with Ben Silverman, not to Scotland, but based on my knowledge of geography, fairly close. Down in Ireland, we were down in Cork, and I remember going into a little pub with Ben in Cork and having a number of people who were sitting at the bar turn and look at me
and acknowledge that they knew who I was from our little show from across the pond, and how surprised and delighted both Ben and I were with that reception. So cheers, mate. And I hope to see you there in Scotland soon. Maybe on a golf course.
Hey, Brian, this is Eve from São Paulo, Brazil. My question for you guys is, if you could go back in time and shoot one episode all over again, which one would you pick? Maybe because you had so much fun shooting it, or because you would do something different about the episode, or just because you want to go back to that specific point in time. So tell me which one.
Eve, that is a spectacular question. I have thought about this answer more than any other question I was asked, because yes, one, there are so many different ways that I can go with this. I think that where my answer settles in this moment would be Jim and Pam's wedding, Niagara. First off, it was a mess. Let me just say that. The shooting of that episode was very, very difficult because, as we've discussed throughout the podcast, the writing was changing up until basically we shot it. We were going very, very late, long hours on that shoot. But I don't know, the joy of that episode and shooting that Chris Brown walking into the chapel scene, that's where I go. I don't know. And maybe it's now seeing clips on YouTube or montages that fans have put together that typically include that scene. The look on all of our faces, the culmination of that story, and the joy we had in shooting it, as difficult as it was. If we shoot it again, I'd like it to be easier and not quite so many hours or late at night. But yeah, that for me is it. And, you know, I've told this story as well to those of you who haven't heard it, in that we actually shot at the Maid of the Mist at Niagara Falls. And my parents happened to be there in New York vacationing with some friends, and went and saw John and Jenna and some of the other crew members, and they appear in that episode. They are the couple that are walking right behind Jim and Pam as they get their rain gear to walk onto the boat. So maybe I want to go back and shoot that episode again, because I wish I'd gone there. I think next time I would go there and be there with my folks while we shot that scene. So that's my answer today.
Hi, Brian. My name is Kristen. I'm from Prince George, British Columbia, and I just wanted to send in this story. 2 years ago, I gave birth to my son. The labor and delivery with his birth was quite traumatic, and I struggled with postpartum depression afterwards. And I was thinking about ways that I could boost my spirits. And I remembered a family member had told me when they were struggling with depression, a counselor many decades ago had told them to listen to funny things, watch funny things, just to boost their spirits. So I was like, oh, I might as well try it. So I was on my Netflix and looking through, and my husband suggested that I watch The Office. He knows that I love Dinner Party, but he doesn't have the same love for Dinner Party as I do. So he said, oh, I don't care what you watch. If it's going to make you laugh, then you should watch it. So I turned it on, and I probably watched Dinner Party every day for 5 months. Even in my lowest days, it could still bring a smile to my face. And I'm just really grateful for those tiny moments of just happiness that The Office had brought me in those really dark days. and I'm fully recovered from the depression now, but I still watch The Office diligently, and I'm just very thankful for it. So thank you for going through and interviewing everyone. It's just been wonderful to listen to and hear new stories. So just thank you for the joy you've brought to my life.
Kristen, thank you for sharing your story with me and with all of us. I've said now many times that the greatest gift that The Office has given me is, well, stories like that. You know, we truly felt like we were just a bunch of idiots, and we were, let's be clear, a bunch of idiots trying to make people laugh. And when I hear stories like that, that this show, this band of idiots, have brought comfort during a difficult time, well, it clearly takes my words away and my breath away. I thank you for sharing your story. I am so glad that we merry bunch of idiots were able to give you some comfort in a difficult and dark time. And I give credit mostly to Greg Daniels about this. Because look, this was a comedy meant to make people laugh. They say laughter is the best medicine, right? But I think that the depth of the show, which relates to the central message of the show that Greg explains very clearly with the last line of the show, that there's beauty in ordinary things, isn't that kind of the point? And that hope, that idea, I think, is comforting, right? It is for me. So thank you for your courage to want to tell me that story. Thank you for that, because I consider that a gift to me. We all consider that a gift to all of us. So thank you. And yes, I'm glad. I'm glad that you're better now and still watching.
Hello, Office Deep Dive. I know I'm not alone in the world in saying that The Office has truly helped me through life. I'm 23 years old, and I grew up in foster care in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I've never truly felt like there is a lot of representation of youth in care in TV. Some of the trauma and hardships that take place while growing up in the foster care system manifest resilient and unique individuals that sometimes have a difficulty fitting in and feel like they can't relate to their peers. It means the world to have a character out there that has some shred of resemblance to compare to. The writing of Aaron's character and Ellie's performance felt accurate to my experience and truly made me feel seen. Thank you for all that you do on your podcast and for carrying the essence of beauty in the small things throughout your podcast from the show, and for being part of a show that brought so many people comfort.
Shauna, thank you for calling in. You know, there's a phrase that you used that I wrote down. Resilient and unique individuals who sometimes have difficulty fitting in. And you talk about that in terms of children who've gone through the foster care system, but isn't that all of us in a way? The world has a way of making resilient and unique individuals who sometimes have difficulty fitting in. I don't think that I could have described many of the characters on The Office any better than that. And maybe that, after 2 years of searching for the answer of why the show resonates with people now, maybe that's the answer. People feel seen because these characters in The Office are seen. I don't know. But thank you, Shauna. Thank you for calling in.
incredible. Thank you all so much. It got a little emotional there for a bit, but I want to thank you all, well, for sharing your lives with me, with us, really. And the fact that this show has reached so many people from so many places around the world, it's just incredible. Look, I'm a kid from Georgia. That's who I am. And so to start there and to now just be casually talking to people from Scotland and Brazil and the UK, Argentina, it is a dream come true for me. The world truly is a small place. Thank you so much for making my holidays so special. I hope that this show has done the same for you. Look, I hope this week that you get to spend some time with your loved ones. Or if not, at least spend some time with your office family. Happy holidays to one and all of you. The Office Deep Dive is hosted and executive produced by me, Brian Baumgartner, alongside our executive producer, Leng Lee. Our producers are Liz Hayes and Diego Tapia. My main man in the booth is Alec Moore. Our theme song, Bubble and Squeak, performed by my great friend Creed Bratton, and the episode was mixed by Seth Olansky.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Justin Rutherford. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover to hide behind.
Detective Weaver said, "I'm sure you know why we're here." I was like, "What in the world is going on?"
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Melissa Fumero.
And I'm Stephanie Beatriz. You may know us from television.
99.
And now we're here with our very own podcast, More Better with Stephanie and Melissa.
Join us as we take on topics like listening to yourself,
the challenge of self-care,
and making friends as an adult.
We're going to share our struggles.
We're going to speak to experts.
And we're going to share everything we learn with you.
Listen to More Better with Stephanie and Melissa on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but, like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.